Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 121, 1. 121, 1. Thank you, Jesus, for such a good day. I don't know about this 7-degree weather headed to Texas. I think if we put our faith together, we could push that away. Amen. We push hailstorms away. Let's push that cold out of here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We might even get Ronnie to agree with us on that. Thank you, Lord. Twist her arm on it. All right, praise the Lord. Psalm 121, 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. So everybody say all. So that means all, right? Okay, praise the Lord. I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. So he always causes us to triumph. So everybody say always. Say all and always. Didn't say sometimes. Said always. Didn't say not some evil. It said all evil. That he'd deliver you from all evil. All evil. Thank you, Jesus. So if you're suffering defeat in any area, it isn't God. That's on your side. It's on your side of the covenant. So find out what it is. Make the correction. He'll help you. Grace of God's available. Then you just go right on, right? So it's time to renew your mind. God takes pleasure in your success. He wants you to be well. He wants you to be blessed. He needs you to be a witness of his goodness. That's the way we win people to Jesus. You're not going to go up all beat up and torn up and messed up and depressed and suicidal and win anybody to Jesus. They want our God because he's a good God. Amen. And because he is the deliverer. So we get that mindset. It's time for us to have the attitude of a winner. We need to have the attitude of a winner. It's so important. I want to read you Hebrews 12:1. It says, therefore, since we also are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see that word, therefore, since we also are surrounded? Well, you're not looking at it. I'm reading it to you, but it says, therefore. Well, when you see the word, therefore, you got to find out what it's there for. And so, therefore is connected to chapter 11 of Hebrews. And in chapter 11 of Hebrews, you know, that's the hall of faith. And so we know by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith Rahab the harlot, and many more. All the hall of faith is there. So then when you drop down there into Hebrews, it's saying, so therefore, all of these, which are the cloud of witnesses, all of these worthies, with Brother Hagin sitting in there too, I'm sure, and some other people, you know, Farrell was just talking about this to me earlier. They all live by faith, and then they're the great crowd of witnesses. Now get that. Get that before you run off. They live by faith. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. So they live by faith, and that's why they're called the Hall of Faith, and they are the great cloud of witnesses. So in the time this was written, the idea of a cloud was used to describe a large group of people. And so it was, and the word witness there is spectator. So what we're seeing is something like when we go to the games and watch the kids play ball and things like that, and we're sitting in there, we're spectators, we're in the stands. And in the ancient days, they sat in what they called an amphitheater. and they would watch the games, football, baseball, whatever it is that we watch. We are the cloud of witnesses, you would say. So seeing then that you're surrounded by such a grandstand full of spectators, seeing though you're being looked at by Abraham. By Jacob. By Brother Hagin. They're watching. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So the grandstand filled with worthies, and you're on the field. Okay? It says we are to lay aside every weight. I like to call that parasite drag. And so, you know, when they build airplanes, they try to take everything off they can that would slow that plane down. They don't want any parasite drag on it. And that's what, you know, they want it to be aerodynamic. They want it to flow through the air. You know, well, what do runners do? They wear light clothing to run because they don't want to be have anything, any parasite drag. They don't want to be hindered when they're running. So, you know, we need to lay aside everything that holds us back. You know, what's holding you back? And those weights are different with each of us. Some people, their weight is their past. Some carry around offense. Some carry around physical situations. Some carry around character flaw. Whatever it may be, these are things that can be changed. You can get rid of some things, and you're going to run the race easier. So whatever you carry, there's a grace to come out of that. Amen. Amen. So, and it also says lay aside the sin. So, obviously, that would weigh you down. It would weigh you down. Just because we live in grace doesn't mean that we should habitually keep living in the dark. Let's just answer this question. Why does God hate sin? Because it kills the ones he loves. It hurts the ones he loves. It's not that he's some big, you know, God that is, you know, trying to be all judgmental about everything. He just doesn't want you hurt. And so what he did was he redeemed us from it. And it's already done. You've been forgiven for every sin you've ever done and ever will do. Jesus paid for the whole thing. And so you can lay aside that, and you want to lay it aside because there's an enemy out there that'll use every single thing he can find against you and keep you in failure and keep you in misery and then kill you. That's what he wants to do. So you lay aside so that you can finish your course. So there's things you want to stop being offended. You want to stop using harsh language. You want to stop certain things because it's keeping you back. Amen. And we all need help in different areas. So it said also to run the race with patience. That word patience is hupomeno. And it's a compound word, hupo and meno. And it means to stay or to abide. So that word patience there is really more like the word endurance or to endure. And what it means is to remain in one spot. I'm not giving up my spot. This is my spot, and I'm not giving it up. You resolve to maintain. This is what I believe. This is what I have. And this is where I'm standing. Now, doesn't that sound like faith to you? So they're alike. They're a lot alike. The Bible says that Abraham finally got the promise through what? Faith and patience. He was able to endure. He wouldn't change what he said, and he just kept watching and staying the same until he had what he needed. So you keep your position. It's a state of mind. This is my spot, and I'm not moving. So the determination inherent within the word hupomeno is clearly seen when it's used in a military sense. We picture soldiers who are ordered to maintain their position, and they go out face a fierce combat, but they're told, you're going to stay. You're not going to turn around and run. You're going to stay. And that's what they do. They keep the ground. And you have to be courageous to do that. You have to have some courage. So no matter how hard or difficult, a soldier will fulfill their assignment. And so we're like athletes. We're like soldiers. But here's the thing. They survive every attack in the kingdom. Amen. So you hold your position. you outlive and outlast the resistance. Amen. Well, I wanted to be debt-free by now. Well, outlive the resistance. Outlive it because you'll make it. And you will see what you're looking for. Outlive the thing that is trying to resist your promise. What you're believing God for, you can do it. So King James uses the word patience, but I like endurance. And let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us. Now, I want to say one thing about patience, just one more thing. We see over in Galatians that patience, I've said this to you many times, but I need to say it again. Patience is a force. It's a fruit of the Spirit. God is not teaching you patience. I'm teaching you patience right now. God through me is teaching you patience. Patience is something you employ. You put it on. You would say, this needs to be done. Patience, you do it. Okay? You employ it. It's a force that works like faith. Faith is something you employ. Joy is employed. All of these things are already yours. You learn them by finding out what they are. But you don't really have to work out on them. They go to work when you tell them to go to work. If you've ever had an employee, what'd you do? You told them to go to work and they went to work. Hopefully. I love horses. I've been a horse lover since I was a little kid. I started believing when I was 7, I started believing for a horse. And I didn't even know faith, but I dreamed of a horse. Had a lot of stick horses. And I rode a horse when I was 6 years old with my sister Linda. Y'all don't probably have never met her. She was my sister-in-law, but is my sister to me. And we rode Shorty all through the woods, playing in the woods on Shorty. And so I just loved horses. And then I finally had my manifestation when I was a freshman in high school. My boyfriend gave me Buster, and he was an Appaloosa. And my brother owned Appaloosas, so we all rode together. And but I love quarter horses. Quarter horses are fast. And the thing about a quarter horse is that he can run a quarter mile faster than any other horse. Is that right? Horse people, where's Dee when I need her? Okay. So, but here's the thing, church. An Arabian horse can run a mile and a quarter faster than any horse on earth. So what we see here is we see that the quarter horse has power, but the Arabian has endurance. It can go longer. So let's run with endurance. Let's be like the Arabian. The quarters are great. We can rope. We can do everything we need on them. But what we're looking for is to be like an Arabian where we can take the distance. Amen. So we all have a race and we have to run it. Now I want to say this to you. Like this, because I haven't actually said this, we must endure in our race. Get it all together, okay? And we must endure, particularly now in this time, the contradiction to the message. It's big right now, so we have to, there are things with patience. I mean, I turned on the news for 5 minutes today and I had to turn it off. Because there were lies, lies, lies just coming out. Just lies. Making up these stories with all this emotional stuff. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then playing clips. And then they didn't even match what they were saying. It's just amazing. So right now the devil is working really, really hard. And we are enduring the contradiction to the message. But I'm telling you, it's not over. And we're going to win. So, listen, the world is hostile to the gospel. So get over it if someone doesn't like you. We're not in this for popularity. We're in this for purpose. And that is to win people to Jesus, to get people saved. And not just get people. I'm called to the body of Christ. But I'm called to the body of Christ. Not that I'm not called to win people to Jesus, that too. But I'm called to see that everybody is equipped so they can win people to Jesus and to live the life that God called us to live. It's not just about getting saved. That's not the whole gospel. The whole gospel, salvation means saved, healed, delivered. So we get the whole package, but we are called to absolutely win people, and we're going to have to use our faith to do that. The Apostle Paul was really, I'm going to say this, God proud of the Thessalonians. We use God proud. I think we got that from Kylie, because we don't use the word proud with each other. But he was God proud of them. He said in 2 Thessalonians 1:4 that he gloried in them. And the word glory there, it's a long Greek word there, but it means he was bragging on them. He was just bragging on them. And he was bragging on them because of their faith. Faith is a force that is forward directed. Okay? It's never passive. It's never backward directed, never backward reaching, but it's always reaching forward to obtain a specific target. Okay? It's going after something. It is the substance of things hoped for. 17, pizza. Remember what we talked about? Amen. Okay. So it's going after something. Now, the Thessalonians were under severe pressure, big time, but they never drew back or retreated. They just stayed on it. Amen. Now, I said all that so that I could go here with you tonight. I said all that because Hebrews 2:12 said, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So all of this, because of Jesus, can be accomplished. Every bit of it can be accomplished. You run your race. You will finish your race. You can accept your assignment. You can actually get it done. You can run across the finish line, and you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. If you do it, if you do what? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Runners in a race keep their eyes fixed on the mark of the prize. That's what they do. They keep their eyes on that. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's not going to fail us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to say, well, this was really just too hard. I don't know what we're going to do. No, he's got a plan. He had a plan. He knew every bit of this was going to happen in America. This is not news to him. Amen. Runners in a race keep their eyes. They're fixed on that mark. They keep the goal in view. Jesus invented this thing called faith. He admitted you into the race, and he's going to see you through the race. He'll be there at the finish line. So he said, here you go, right here. You're going to just get right in it. Get right up here to the line. Get ready. Go. And he's going, go. You can go. Come on, come on. He'll be there at the finish line. Glory to God. It's confidence that God is going to honor his promise. He'll honor his promises. And so we keep our eyes on Jesus. And I want to step off here into just another place now. I know that this means that we should keep our eyes on our illustrious model, Jesus, of course, that we need to look to him as the successful competitor and above all, he's the best of, above all, who's run this race, right? Jesus is. But I want to go here, too, as we're coming down to the close of this. As you're running your race, and you're looking at Jesus, there's something you need to know. He's looking at you. Yeah, all the cloud of witnesses are looking at you, but when he looks at you, what does he see? What does Jesus see when he looks at you? Because this is really what affects the race. This is really what affects the race. You remember perhaps when you were younger, how thrilled you were when someone came to watch you play ball or do what you do. Or you remember? Most of you remember. Your mom showed up at the play you were in. You know, you were looking for them in the audience. You didn't want the chair to be empty. You were waiting for them to get there. And or someone special who would come watch you do what you do. A lot of you guys go out and watch all the children play all their ball games and everything. And we were all, I mean, there was a bunch of us out there when Kendall and Jesse Wesley were playing the other night. And I'm telling you, when Kendall hit that ball out in the left field, it was a roar over there. Ah! And she's running. It was just good. She would stole a base. And so that makes me really happy because I'm a baseball fan. So, you know, I mean, she was just going for it. Well, don't you know it made Kendall feel good that we were rooting for her, that we were watching her. I remember when I hit my grand slam, there were people there I wanted to impress. I wanted to impress them. They were there. And I felt good because I told them that I was going to hit a home run, is what I told them. And they said, well, I'm coming tonight then. So they all came, and I hit it, and boy, it sure felt good. No silly women were out there running, trying to chase that ball when it rolled out on the ground, you know. But it got everybody around the bases, praise the Lord. It rolled back there. So, I didn't hit it over the fence. I hit it out in left field, and then they missed it. But it felt good. It feels good when somebody's watching and you do well. It just does. Well, Jesus is watching. He's got his eye on you. Just remember that feeling. You're just, you know, when the girls are playing soccer and there they go and they get a goal. Praise the Lord. I was teasing Deb. I said, man, Kendall made a touchdown tonight. No, was it a hole in one? No, praise the Lord. I'm just kidding. She made a run, right? Okay. So anyway, I know that there are people that would probably put pressure on you while you're running the bases or while you're playing tennis or while you're being in the play or whatever you're doing. But Jesus isn't one of them. He's not. You don't have to sweat through the whole game or the performance with Jesus. You don't have to. I'm talking about someone who believes in you. He believes in you, and he knows you'll get better and better as you run the race. Jesus believes in you. And he doesn't show up to the race to criticize you. There's a lot of critics in the world. Sometimes after a play, you'll see them in the newspaper, you know. I'm happy to say I know someone who played, you're a good man, Charlie Brown. And this person played Snoopy in the play in San Marcos in the old days. And she was a good actress. And the newspaper came out because in the middle of the play, she got a standing ovation. And that's unheard of. And so the newspaper came out, the San Marcos Record, and it said, Snoopy steals the show. What a great feeling that's for Snoopy here. Well, that's how Jesus is about you. Man, Ronnie was running in her faith. Ronnie stole the show. Look at her go. Look at her go. Look at Jesse go. Look at Jesse standing in her faith, running her race. That's what the cloud of witnesses is doing. That's what Jesus is doing. They're looking at you saying, they're winning, they're winning. Look at them go. Praise the Lord. See, you're not just a number to Jesus. You're not just one of the numbers. You're somebody special to Jesus. Now, your hair is numbered, but you were not. Hey, and speaking of that, you know, when it says that the number that Jesus knows the number of hairs on your head, I know that doesn't mean that he says and knows that you have 129,431 hairs. That's not what that means. It means he knows which one is number one and which one is 1,323. That's how well he knows 1,123. He knows them. He knows you that well. Amen. Did you know that God adores you? Remember when you saw your baby out there running or in the play? When Toby was in third grade, he was a pilgrim at Thanksgiving in the play. And I remember looking at him thinking, that's my baby, and he's up there on the stage Praise the Lord, he's doing so well. And then even when they're grown, you look at them, that's my baby up there playing the bass guitar for Jesus. You know? I mean, thank you, Jesus. And then I got to say, that's my baby on the front of that trophy magazine for deer killing. And everything else he's done. And he's done well. Well, that's what God's saying about you. That's Amanda. She's my baby. She's doing well. Thank you, Jesus. This is Hesed. I'm trying to help you pull over and win. Winning everything. God loves you that much that you're going to win. God will help you win. He'll get you up in the morning, put you to bed at night, and help you come into your calling and help you win if you'll just stay with him and just let him love you and keep on going. Just keep going with him. You know, God doesn't love us as a bunch. He loved Adam as number one. He loved Eve as number two. And he loved number 2,300,000, whoever that was. Whatever number you are, he knows what number you are, and he loves you. And he knows you by name, and he knows your heart, and he knows what you're thinking. And he'll know you more if you will respond to him. He'll pay attention to you if you pay attention to him. God loves everyone, but he will favor people because they get up close to him. You know, why is so-and-so so anointed? Why? Because they're close to him. And when you get up close to someone, they rub off on you. Amen. Church, God, his love is not, well, I guess I have to. He wants to. He wants to love you. He wants to be the one that cheers you on. He has that giving love. 1 John 3:18 says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And that is exactly what God does. Valentine's Day is a good example of loving in deed with words and gifts. Husbands and wives. Boyfriends and girlfriends. Friends. And there's several stories out about Valentine. I'm sure you remember them. He was a Christian in Rome, and he was in prison. He was persecuted. And they would say that he could reach out and grab some violets that were growing, and he would write a little note to people and send violets to them. And then he would say, have a saying from your Valentine. Remember your Valentine. And then they say that people would send him back flowers and cards, and they would remember their Valentine. And the Catholic Church actually canonized him. And so he became quite popular. And on Sunday, we're going to celebrate Valentine's Day. Remember the one who loves you. Remember, that's a covenant word. Remember your Valentine, Jesus. He loves you. He loves you. Sure, you want to remember your honey, but remember Jesus. He loves you. He's watching you run the race. Amen? Because he sent a big red message in his blood to you. And now he's sending this message to you, church. Victory Church, you are a winner. You are successful. Amen. You are my beloved, and I believe in you. That's what his little card says to you today. Don't let the enemy turn you into an empty paper bag. Don't let the enemy make you feel like you're buried 6 feet under right now. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You are somebody. You're important to Jesus. And these are the words for this year. This is your undefeated season. You are going to be undefeated in 2020 WON. You are undefeated. So get ready to take every battle. Now, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do it? Well, you can't wimp out. There's a cloud of witnesses with Jesus sitting in the middle. You're going to have to stand. You're going to have to endure. You're going to have to get on into that third heaven and pay attention to what God is doing and not what the Democrats or Republicans are doing or what Joe Conspiracy's doing or whoever, but what is God doing? Because God's going to take this thing. He is. He's going to do it, and we're going to win, and you're going to be undefeated. And you're going to be undefeated in your finances this year. You're going to be undefeated in your body. There's good news coming out about the old dead thing right now. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. We will not be defeated, and we will not quit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, thanks be unto God, which always, say always, causes us to triumph in Christ. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Say all. The Lord shall preserve thy coming out and thy going out and thy coming in. From this time forth, right now, when I said this, take your preservation for this year. Just take it. Just put it on. Put on your preservation. No, no. Well, what are they going to do to us? Nothing. Yeah, but what if they do this? Well, no. What if we stand strong and get this overturned? And that's exactly what President Trump was trying to do. He wasn't trying to tell people to go tear up the Capitol. He was talking about standing strong and fighting for what we believe is right. How do we do that? With prayer, with believing, with confessing, with loving, with staying out of offense, and with faith. I still believe this country belongs to God. And I still believe he loves the remnant that is standing with him. He loves everybody. But I believe he will fully cooperate if we just let the right words come out our mouth. And stop agreeing with the enemy. And stop fussing about it. I could have started fussing about 3 minutes into the news today. So I turned it and watched the Gilmore Girls. They're hilarious. Praise the Lord. This is way better than what the news was saying. The Lord's going to preserve us from all evil. Think about, he always has. He always has, and he always will. We made it through 8 years a while back. Remember that? We made it through all that. Like, yeah, but this is way worse. Did you expect anything different? I'm telling you, we're at the end of the age. We're at the end of the age. Satan is afraid. He's losing. Yeah. Hell has already turned on itself.
Yeah. Yeah. It's doing it right now.
It has. That's what you need to look at. You need to look at all this crazy stuff. You're going, what? No. We win.
We win.
You're going to win. This is your undefeated year. You got to keep this in front of you. I'm telling you, it's your undefeated year. You're going to have Chip in here on Sunday, and I guarantee you he'll go some way that way because he's had a lot of practice being undefeated.
That's right.
In baseball. Everybody say all. Everybody say always.
Always.
It's going to go our way. It's going to go our way. Father, we thank you for this word. Father, I thank you that we have the privilege of your word. Of hearing your word, of reading your word, of listening to you. This is you talking to us. And we are so grateful. As Jesse said earlier, the word of God will not return void. It's going forward every minute. And this word that has gone into our hearts, I believe, I receive, I have an undefeated year. I'm going to win every time. I'm going to stand in favor every time. I'm not going to be pushed back by anything or anybody. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Any altars that have been built to try to tear us down or tear this church down, I command the fire of God in Jesus' name. Those devils are put out in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for the victories that we have. Thank you for it, Lord.